Welcome to Deskmates, your Eurovision podcast. I'm Robbie. I'm your Easter Bunny host.
And I'm Ken, and I'm your Egghead host.
Yeah, okay.
You could have gone with Jesus, or...
I could have gone... I'm not feeling very Jesus-ish.
Jesus-y. Jesuit. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Cross my heart.
Put me on a cross.
Yeah, I have the expectations for Easton because I've been working and doing the Maleficent things so much now that I will die on Friday and then I will
be resurrected
Monday. I mean, that's my Jesus impersonation during almost any Easter. So, yeah.
And the Lord rose. And so... yeah, the reason with Easter references, this will be the episode coming out the week of Easter.
Yep.
In the future, you're hearing this. We're recording this in advance because we're on holiday.
Yeah, I'm actually not. I'm at home.
We collectively are on holiday. I'll be snowboarding.
The collectible we are on holiday.
Deskmates is on vacation.
We're
out of office. Mm-hmm. So this episode, Ken, is going to be listener questions.
Amazing. Look forward to this.
We've been saving... The majority of them. The short ones, I've sort of been bringing them up as we go. So we've answered quite a few so far. But they just started to become so many and some of them were quite in-depth that I thought we should give them our full attention. And so now they've got a whole episode.
Yep.
But however, having said that, before we get to that, there is some housekeeping. And it's very important housekeeping.
Okay.
You and I, every year now, have been doing an after work here at work related to Eurovision. Well, you at first were doing it by yourself.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't exist in my life.
I didn't exist at all, out of sight, out of mind. And this is one of the things that really got me into Eurovision, because to me, this was the... I mean, we do a lot of afterworks all through the year, not all of them themed, you know, summer party and Christmas party and things. But this is the most fun one for me. Like, I would tell people, even before I really, you know, got into Eurovision, I was like, this is the best party of the year that we have at work. So, and then through that, and through obviously being friends with you, I got into the music as well.
Lovely. That's what my intention when I started it. But just, we are very much at this job that we both have, you and I, to talk about our passions for different things and also things that are not tech-driven because it's a tech company, but other things that we do outside work. And I thought at some point I would bring my Eurovision love to this company. And it took me some years. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it took like 15 years before I came out and did something with it. And I mean, just getting people... I also needed some sort of form, and that's what we're going to discuss now because, of course, I can't force people to listen to 37 songs and vote for it. And I wanted to encapsulate what I love about it and make it into some party thing. So we force people into teams and they become a country and they need to be very nationalistic about their country without knowing what song they're going to represent.
Generally, they know nothing.
And we pick like 10 to 15 songs depending on if it's a good year or it's a bad year and try to mix different genres. So of course, we cannot just pick one genre, but we also try to get the top candidates there because of course, until this day, I haven't missed to pick the winner. So that's one of the things. It needs to be there. But I also want to do all these kind of different things so people not get bored. It's going to work on an... I mean, maybe we didn't, sadly enough, didn't get Marco Mengoni last year because, I mean, it's a ballad. Wouldn't be...
And we already had other ballads.
And we had other ballads.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, interestingly, you and I almost fell out quite dramatically last year because you insisted that we have France. And I said, because it was quite high in the odds, and I said, it's not going to win and it's not that good of a song.
The thing there is also like not much was that ethnic last year.
Yeah.
So it was it brought a flavor into the contest, but I think I want in the mix of this.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, now it's a different way around. It's like take away stuff. Yeah. Do you remember a song that won last year?
The song that won here?
Yep.
It was Tattoo, surely.
No.
Okay, no, I've forgotten.
Cha-cha-cha.
Oh, wow. Controversial.
Controversial.
So, yeah, just to explain, we split people into teams. They each have a country of the ones that you and I have curated.
Exactly.
And then we vote. So we play them the songs, and they each, you know, they wave flags and they represent the country that we've given them, and then they vote. Yeah. And then we choose what we think will win. So last year was Carrier, and that was a pretty close second.
Yeah.
So.
And it was the audience favorite to vote for. So, I mean, of course, we can't get the jury favorite here at the party. So what we get is an indicator probably what the public in Europe is going to vote for.
Yeah.
I also remember, like, do you know why I brought you into this party?
Because you weren't good at PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly. I weren't good at Excel. So that's not something I still need you to advance our, like, the voting things every year. It's like, I'm shit at that. So that's how it started. And then, I mean,
this whole thing. Now we have a fucking podcast.
Now we have a podcast. Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Now, I actually remember exactly how that happened. You were struggling on the night with the Excel to put the scores in at the same time as hosting, because you were just doing it by yourself. Yeah. Oh, maybe with a former colleague.
No, it was myself.
Okay, by yourself. So I went, let me just help you out. And I ran up and started doing the Excel for you. And then that's how it started.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of podcasts, we have sort of started to advertise this internally, the after work night, to get people interested. And now we're presenting it as Deskmates Presents.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, some people at work listen to the podcast.
Exactly.
So, it's kind of
nice. Now it's going to be branded.
So now let's just see how quickly we can agree on the songs. So we've intentionally not discussed this.
Yep.
Because we're going to have this conversation now. So,
and also, the big thing is, of course, the order we're going to run them in.
And the order, yeah.
So that's I think that's more important to me than songs we select. Mm-hmm. Because that's something I'm just right now, when this is recorded, I'm just waiting for the official, like, running order.
Yeah.
That's something I love. And also something I was like, I mean, I am friends with a guy who's doing the official running order this year. And this is what we discussed to death, like, during years of Melody Festivalen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, how do you want to do this? Should we each go through our list, or should we see where we agree and where we disagree?
We will do it like this. I will say what order I decided and what countries I decided, and then you can object and say, no, okay, I don't want this and I don't want this.
Brilliant.
And I'm going to just run through that, how I was thinking for each of each song and why they're there, and then we can discuss. And of course,
all I would say is I have 13 songs, but I didn't think about the order yet.
Yep.
So yours is a better list to go through.
Exactly, that's what I'm thinking. And I have 13 songs also. And hopefully they're the same then. We don't know.
Well, I mean, we've only just listened to Armenia, and I don't know if I want to sneak that one in now. Mm-hmm. Because one of the categories I think we do have to represent is that sort of folky thing. Now, Estonia does represent that, and I'm pretty sure you're going to have Estonia on your list. And then again, is it too many? If you have too many of those songs, are you going to miss something? Armenia are so low in the odds, but it's not just about the odds. So anyway, let's get started and see where we end up.
We listened to it last week, I would just.
Yeah, last week.
5 minutes for you, a lifetime for their listeners.
Yeah. Podcast world. Song number one, Ken.
Yep. So my start, you want something, you don't want to blow everything from the start. You don't want to have, like,
don't blow
as he told me last night. No, you want to start with something that feels party at this party, but you don't want, people need to get their attention there, so I don't want to do something. So I'm thinking Austria.
Mm.
So Austria is my opening. I think it needs to be there. I want something dancey.
Mm.
Like a woman dancing, you know, that it's kind of, and this is my suggestion for this. Other songs could probably be Cyprus, but I think Austria is a better, it's also representative of the 90s sounds.
Yeah.
That's very, yeah. Then second.
So let's go one at a time. Yeah. Austria on my list.
Okay.
Because I mean, that song didn't wow me. It's kind of growing on me a little bit. I agree with everything you said. It is a good start. But I thought there were other songs that were better. Now, looking at my list, I actually don't really have one of those dancey songs on there. I don't have Malta, I don't have Cyprus. So, yeah, this is I'll just concede and say, you know better here. So, I can agree to that.
Yep. Second is usually the worst place to have in this, because people have the attention of the first one. They just realized what they're going to do. So I put something there that's just for you. So that's where Finland will be.
Mm.
And also because I don't necessarily think we need Finland here. But on the other hand, it's a ridiculousness that I want to have. And I think I want to burn Finland just to see how good other countries are that are coming afterwards. So I'm thinking, you have the people, Austria, and that will be for many people will be like, you, oh, it's a dance, it's a Eurovision thing, blah, 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 it's nice.
Mm.
And then Finland comes and people are like, wow, something weird is happening this year.
Yeah.
So that's Finland.
I had Finland second in my list, but I also was very, very torn about this because obviously I like Finland because it's weird and I'm English. But there's too many weird songs. And as a category, you can't have them all.
Mm.
You have to have variety. So Finland to me is really, really on the borderline of we could probably do without it. And that pains me to say, because I like that.
Yep.
But let's come back to that one if there's anything missing.
I feel the same. But when I was thinking about it, I was like, we would want something weird from the beginning. That's not like one of the best weirds.
Yes.
So that's why I put it there.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, I mean, the first time you see it, it's quite fun.
Mm.
It's when you compare it to everything else and that's what. Yep. Three, Belgium.
Okay.
So why do we have Belgium here? Because it's a top five in the odds.
Yeah.
So I think we need it. It is, for me, it is a hard sell on after work, I would say. But now we've started with something dancing. We started with something crazy. Now it's time for Belgium, because that's everywhere. We can put it in. People go and get drinks, whatever. I think this is the hardest sell on my list for getting people's attention there. Because as we talked about last week, not much happens in the beginning. On the other hand, it is a bit Loreen-y. It has its audience. It could go very well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, the song was in my list. And again, once the song is finished, you go, wow, that was a really good song. So, yeah, I don't disagree. And I think your argument of the placement is fine. It could also go, you know, fifth.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
So how do we help this up? Oh, Greece. Greece, of course, needs to be there. And you have your... it's a bit folky there. It's a bit weirdy. It's a bit folky. It's all of the things. Greece needs to be there.
Yeah. Now
it's time to Greece for Greece.
Absolutely.
And afterwards, I would love to put in Sweden, because I want to show the Swedes at this party, like, look how not like on point of Eurovision it is anymore. And also, I think it will stand out in a good way also coming after Greece, because it's so different. Mm. So people who doesn't like Greece at all will think that, oh, Sweden, that's something I can really relate to. And then after Sweden, Norway, of course. Norwegian, two Norwegians acts. We need to have Norway there.
Obviously, I had Sweden on my list because we have to have Sweden on the list. Even if we weren't hosting, we're in Sweden, so we have to have Sweden on the list. Obviously, I had Norway on my list. I like the order there. Yeah.
Mm, good. After Norway, Switzerland, because it's one of the big favorites. I mean, I don't... guess you don't have that on. I guess you have that on your list. Also.
I have it on my list, yeah, because I like the song.
Yeah, and I like it too. And now we're starting to get into the top song. I mean, we have Through the Night now. People are getting a bit drunk, and now we're gonna fire off the big things at them. So Switzerland, because it's very different to Norway, and then Italy, which is of course very different to Switzerland, and one of the things. And after Italy, okay, this is not maybe a huge hit, but Estonia has to be there. I mean, it's our song in many ways.
Yep.
And I also think it's like a big straight man factor here that we need to look into.
Two years ago, the most popular song was the train song.
Yeah.
Like people just somehow, that's the easiest, most accessible song. You've had a few drinks and then this rowdy rabble of guys singing a folky song comes on. Mm. People loved it. Mm. And, you know, we both said afterwards, wow, because we weren't going to put it in.
Yep.
I think I had to argue for that song.
Yeah,
and then it went down really well.
Yep, and it went very well.
Yeah.
So I mean, I still think Estonia is a bit undervalued in the odds just because of this factor. But this could also, because I think this is where you put in Armenia instead of Estonia, if you would like to change anything. And I think Estonia is more on point with the audience that we have here than Armenia.
Mm.
Yeah. Because Armenia could also be that song, but I don't think it will. I don't think it has the straight man factor that Moldova had.
Yeah, it's maybe Moldova a bit had, too, like, this is sort of UK people rolling their eyes going, oh God, Eurovision is so boring.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then after Estonia, I have UK, which is also something completely different. Estonia is something you never hear somewhere else. It's in Estonian, blah, blah, blah. And then UK, of course, like a polished pop song, something.
So here's the thing. I think I have UK in my list. No, I don't. Yeah, I do have UK in my list. But I could also argue against having it in there because, one, it's not going to win. And two, it's not a good Eurovision song. We both said this. It's a good pop song, but it's not a good Eurovision song. And this is the Eurovision after work. So... yeah, I would argue against it.
One thing that's good with UK is like when I played it for people that is not interested in contests, they like this because it sounds like things that's on the radio. It's also something that I will expect Swedes to vote for. It's like it sounds very Melodifestivalen.
Mm.
So there's a lot of Swedes here going to be at this party. Also, he's quite famous. So sure. I think there's a lot of things that speaks for that. And people will be like, oh, is he going to be? I have seen him before. Like, no. These kind of things. Also, I think we expect to have UK there just because also you're from UK.
Yeah, but if anyone's ever talked to me for 5 minutes, they know that I don't have that particular identity.
Okay, you can be the Swede then, and I can be there.
I mean, I would say, looking at your list, because we're closing on, that's position 10, you don't have Poland. And Poland, to me, is, if you know, this slot here is pop song.
Mm.
Poland is a better Eurovision song in that category.
The thing is, UK will be in the final. Poland probably won't.
You reckon?
And
okay.
So, then Netherlands.
Obviously. Yeah.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's, of course, hard sell. But you know, we are at the Ukrainian consulate. We have a lot of people. We have a very big part of our company is Ukraine.
Yeah.
Ukrainian. And I think they need to be there. I also think they're going to end up high. We don't have that many ballads. So it's not like a very sleepy kind of thing. And I think the attention will be a bit on Ukraine. And I also need to slow down because, of course, the last song is Croatia. We can just say it. And we will end with that.
The likely winner.
We need something between Netherlands and Croatia that's good. So it's not like not something, it's not a waste, but it also separates them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I personally wouldn't put Ukraine in if it was just me deciding because I don't think it'll win. And I think there are better ballads. But
what would you switch it for?
So Serbia, another ballad in non-English language. And it's just that song speaks to me more, the Serbian song. And I think the video is very nice. Ukraine, there isn't an official video. Because we generally try to have the video rather than the performance. But then I'm also thinking maybe Belgium you could switch out for Serbia.
When I look back there, I always go by the odds because that's the songs that will score high. That's the things people will remember. They will see it on the night and see like, okay, yeah, I remember this because it was on the Eurovision night. So that's why I would do Belgium and Ukraine before Serbia. That's mine. Is it something that you absolutely...
I mean, the ones that you missed that I had on my list were Serbia, Poland, Spain. Spain, I completely agree. I just forgotten. I'm too biased now. I've forgotten that we weren't impressed when we first heard it. I just know that I definitely like Serbia when I first heard it. And Poland, I mean, I'm surprised that you don't think it's going to qualify because I just think that's a really good one. But otherwise, we had all the same.
Yeah. So no surprises on the night if people are coming to the after work. I hope they don't listen to the podcast.
I mean, a few people have said they listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
But then a few people have very specifically and explicitly said they don't listen to the podcast. Thanks. Not that you'll hear that. Now, is there anything that we've missed? Like, I'm just going to quickly look down the list just to make sure we haven't missed an obvious big one.
I went through them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy with that list.
Great.
Listener questions, Ken.
Yes.
Moving on. Listener questions.
We're moving on.
So do you just want me to hit you with a question and we'll...
Hit me baby with your one more time. Rhythm stick.
Don't mind if I do. Now, this first question is a weird one because we've already answered it.
Okay.
We took a short version of this question in a previous episode. So this was Kalle, who asked us to call him Danny because he was so happy that he found us. He asked, if there's one feature you could steal from Sanremo and bring it over, what would you choose? And we answered that question. But he went on to ask a further question. He proposed maybe de-emphasizing Eurovision ever so slightly and transforming it in more of a general domestic music festival could be interesting. The viewing figures for Mello are always better anyways, and it might encourage different artists with songs that aren't from songwriting camps to take part. Imagine a world where someone like Darin is a Mello mainstay, like Mahmood is in Italy.
Of course, that's a dream. I think the brand of Melodifestivalen needs to be redone from the ground if we're going to get people there. Right now, it is something that it's been for over 20 years. We're a bit stuck in what it is. A generation of artists that's growing up, they don't want to be in it for different reasons because it's not cool enough where we were in the 90s in many ways with it.
But having said that, this year you had one of the most streamed artists on Spotify, if the numbers are real, competing, but then they didn't even go to the final.
Yeah, I know. So I think the problem is not just Melodifestivalen, the problem is also the audience watching it. So that's why it's so hard to change, because people are voting in a super predictable way. They're not voting for the odd things. I hear like some people that are on our side that when something like Scarlett shows up. Now, you and I didn't like Scarlett, but you understand what I mean, when something different comes up, or Fröken Snusk, these kind of things finally. But they're not enough people. There are still people who want their Lisa Ajax for breakfast.
But
so
not to beat a dead horse, but I welcome Scarlett being there. But they didn't bring Scarlett. They brought Andrew Lloyd Webber. Be authentic. That's the thing that we keep repeating. Be your authentic selves. Yeah. Be different, but do different in the way that you do it.
I think now the viewing figures weren't that good for the final, so maybe something will happen. But the songs are still hits, which is problematic for us that want another type of music there, because when they're suddenly being the most played songs in Sweden for weeks, I mean, who doesn't want that? The record companies are ultimately the ones driving this, and maybe that's the problem here in some way. It's not like driven by artists. It's like, where is the money? Who do you want to be presenting this TV show? All these kind of things that's behind it. It's an intricate web of like SVT and Spotify not Spotify like as a company, but what's going to go well on Spotify and radio and record companies and all kind of things. And very, very little Eurovision. There's like nothing left aiming for Eurovision, which of course can't be like, because Sanremo is zero Eurovision. Mm. So that's not the problem really, but we completely lost it. I don't have an answer to this. I don't think making it into like a one day, I don't think that would work, or a weekly thing. I don't mind the 6 weeks. I mean, it's helping us through winter. But something we need. I mean, maybe they could do themed Saturdays. Mm. Maybe we can have one Saturday with just Swedish songs.
Yeah,
songs
in Swedish. You mentioned this.
Yeah,
is that an idea that other people are talking about? Like, obviously, I don't know, people you
probably
meet.
Just me.
Because I mean, yeah, that's when you told me about Iceland having this rule that at least in the semi-final you have to sing in Icelandic, and then you can change back to English if you want to. Like something like that. Like let's just try
spice it up.
Something.
Try to do it in Swedish. Yeah.
Now, Kalle mentioned songwriting camps, which people might not be familiar with. Mm. Do you want to very quickly explain what they are?
I mean, I guess there are songwriting. I don't know if there's songwriting camps, but I mean, people are meeting together, writing songs. That's how you write songs, like all over the world. And I mean, songwriters coming together. If you not write your songs yourself, like as an artist, people writing songs, they work together in different collaborations. What songwriting camps is that you collect a lot of people at some sort of conference. You get like, oh, this year in Mellifestivalen, we have these artists. People want to be in Mellifestivalen next year. So write songs for them. And then you have like, today is the day of, today is the Lisa Ajax day. So what do we want for Lisa Ajax? Oh, maybe something this, maybe something.
Now, you've just described how to take all of the life and soul out of music.
And that's what's happening. Yeah, exactly.
So you just get corporate, like.
Yeah, and that's where you get like six songs that are very much alike.
Yeah.
And they sound very much the same because they come from the same people working the same. And then I guess they switch rooms with each other and mix it up. And
very incestuous.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Sanremo having a writing camp?
No.
It's ridiculous.
No. I mean, the soullessness is very, I don't know. There is an interesting clip where Swedish artists look at the other Eurovision songs.
Yeah.
The artists that were in the final. And some of them are reacting like, oh, this is not sounding, they're singing in their original language. This doesn't sound anything like we do it in Sweden, blah, 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 blah. And they say it as if it's a rule how we do it in Sweden. Mm. None of their minds are on like, we could do something like this. Nothing. It's just like they perceive it as a cultural thing, that it's, this is how they do it in other countries, but in Sweden, it sounds like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know what they're afraid of. But I think everybody competes, want to have their hit on Spotify, so that's what they write. And the Swedish people vote for it because they expect that it's supposed to sound like something like that. We're in a bad circle of
life. We need
life.
To borrow from Finland and live by no rules. Because, throw the rule book out. Don't think about what is expected. To do what you want to do.
And I know, I mean, since the format is very 6 weeks, everything. As I said, start with 1 week then. Do something. Have 1 week with just new artists. Mm. So you can't vote for your Liamos or your Dotter or your Danny or your Max Martinus. You need to vote for
Cloudy. Yeah, vote for your Cloudies.
Vote for your Cloudies.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like if you put them in the same, like your Melina Boylove and your Cloudies and this kind in one thing. And I mean, the new artist doesn't have to be the ones singing the sad ballads. There could be new artists doing pop songs.
Yeah.
So the mix could be there, but they could all be new. There could also be one with just new songwriters. Yeah. Or there could be one with just Swedes. And you don't have to do themes all weeks. But now we have 5 weeks. There's room for a week with something else. Mm. And maybe that could draw in the public. Maybe you can do something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do something like it. I mean, this year, imagine an ABBA weekend. And I mean, ABBA could be so much. They have influenced Swedish pop music in so many levels. It doesn't have to sound like an ABBA song. Mm. You could have said to people
Schlager.
You could do Schlager, but you could do something else. There could be different things. Maybe just the title is there, but it's something completely different. You know, something like that. It could be like an ABBA, but that had been this year since it was the 50s. And they are the only ones there is big enough. I mean, I don't want Mellifestivalen when you mimic something. That's not my point. But it's like something like force people. And if they force, like you can get your song in if you just do this and this and this, then people will do it.
Yeah.
But if it's just like writing Swedish, people,
why would I? Go to a songwriting camp and pop out a pop song in a day. Yeah,
exactly. One pop song. They write. And I mean, the ones that doesn't get to in the Mellifestivalen, they spread across Europe.
So yeah, a pretty comprehensive answer then to that question.
I don't know even if I answered the question.
I mean, there's a lot to think about there.
Yep.
There's things that we can do. I mean, yeah, Sanremo doesn't have a themed week, but they have they present the songs in different ways.
Yes, so, and they also have the duet week, the duet night.
Yeah.
Which is something.
Something they could absolutely do. I would say one thing that I would like to borrow from other places, and I mentioned this before, is I want to see more collaborations. I want to take two artists that we know and love. We've had, you know, the mainstays, mm-hmm. like your Maria Sears and your Tales. That was just the two that we talked about. And come back and do something. Imagine Smash Into Pieces with Mons.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe that wouldn't work, but just try something.
Yeah. Liamo did a duet, like, some years ago with Hanna Färm, who was also like, she's been also solo in Emily Fitzwilliam. So, I mean, happens.
But a duet week, like where,
collaboration week.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For that matter. Yeah, I mean, so, but yeah, of course, I'm happy that this is not my job, but I hope SVTs always say that, oh, we evaluate every year, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, I was hoping when Kristi left that there would be some radical change.
Mm.
Problem is, if it's going well on Spotify and we fucking won.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to like argue that someone is doing something wrong.
Yeah. The winning thing is really interesting because you said not every song needs to be a Loreen because you only need one winner. But the point is, last year you had a Loreen, so it's almost like nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
None of the other songs really, really mattered other than charting and, you know, doing well on Spotify.
And they didn't do very well last year either, actually. Mm. This year and the year before last year was much, much better. Uh-huh. I don't know why.
Interesting.
But I guess that's what the Loreen effect also, because she ate everything. That's the song that everybody wants to listen to afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah, I just think that something needs to be done if we're going to do something. And then you can also make an argument that Melodi Festivalen is much more important to SVT than Eurovision. So I don't know. But I mean, let us have some flops again and there will be changes. That's what happened last time. Everything changed. Mm. So
everything changes but you. Next question.
Next question.
Elena asks, in the Croatian episode, you mentioned that the song that is finally representing Croatia in the Eurovision was actually not in the initial 20 songs they were selecting from, but instead it joined the top 20 because another song was removed. I wonder if you have any other examples of this happening before, maybe even songs that ended up winning Eurovision, because we've predicted, and so have the odds, that Croatia will win this year. I ask this in part because in Melody Festivalen, there is the final qualification round, the Andra Hansen or Second Chance, where they add two songs to the final that were in the third and fourth position of their semi-final. And I wonder if ever a song was coming from this Second Chance that ended up being chosen to represent Sweden. That's a mouthful.
That's a long question.
Yes.
But that's a short answer. No, yes.
Okay, yeah.
In 2013, the year after Euphoria, famously one of the worst Melody Festival years ever, I was in the jury that year. When we have selected the songs and we went out, me and two friends were walking home and I was like, this wasn't very well, was it? And my friends tried to be like, usually it gets better like on the night and you know, SVT is going to select some of their songs. And I was like, okay, that is a horrible year. Mm. And the final had just men, one woman. Everybody was men except for one song. It's just a horrible year. That year, a song called You with Robin Stjernberg won, and that song was selected from Andra Chansen.
Okay.
So it's I don't remember where it were in its first, maybe third or fourth, whatever. But it ended up winning in the end. It wasn't the people's favorite. It was the international jury who selected it. There was a guy called Juhiu, who was the big favorite among the people. Combination with the weird voting system that we had at the time and a lot of other elements. I was super happy by the time because I think You was an excellent song. You wasn't selected by the jury, actually. We didn't select that one. Christer put it in.
Okay.
In the end, because he was like, I had this song on my brain for so long now. I put it in. So, yeah, he put it in. It didn't go to the final, but then it was selected in Andra Chansen. And then when the international juries came in and Sweden wasn't allowed to, deciding on their own anymore, it won.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I think it's, but if you check the results, I mean, it's not one of our best results. Also, got horrible staging. They styled him very weirdly. They took in, I think it's the same choreographer that did Euphoria the year before, so it was very arty, which it didn't fit the song at all. He was standing on some little hill. It is a mess, the Eurovision thing. So 14th was lucky.
He looks like his stylist borrowed from Sandy Toksvig's wardrobe.
Yeah, there's hairstyling by 2013, Jesus.
Mm.
That's just weird.
A little bit Jedward.
Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, that's an interesting.
But I mean, so that's that came from Anna Kwanza, and it went into Eurovision.
Yeah.
But it ended up 14th, so it didn't win.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a little bit of this, and the only thing that I can that's similar, because I guess this comes from, I mean, if Croatia wins.
Yeah.
Is in 2002, Latvia were not supposed to be in Eurovision. Back then, it was like it was a bit too much countries that wanted to be, and they had there were no semifinals yet. It was a bit complex of who could be there. But Portugal, for some reason I don't remember now, they decided to withdraw. So they said, okay, we're not going to be here. And then EBU said, okay, there's a spot open. That goes to Latvia. And Latvia came in and they won.
Wow, okay.
So that's...
Yeah, yeah. No, that's very similar. Yeah. Absolutely. So not just the song, the whole flipping country.
The whole flipping country wasn't supposed to be there, and then they won. That, my friend, is probably the worst Eurovision through all times. The worst Eurovision.
The whole thing.
The worst Eurovision winner of all times.
Oh, right. But the songs that year, were they also bad?
I mean, the year was bad. The year is probably what I... If you would just put a gun to my head and said the worst year, I don't remember the early years. I mean, how could I... Okay. I can't compare it with like 1962 or whatever, because I don't remember it. But since I started watching, I think 2002 is the worst year ever. And the winner is... I mean, I can't describe how bad this is.
Should we listen to that?
Yeah, you can listen to that.
Okay, Maria N. with Awana.
This is a year where it's just public voting.
Mm.
And... I don't think anybody votes for the song. They vote for 4 changes of clothes.
Oh, I've heard about this one. Okay. I wanna be the sunshine in your house. I wanna be the light from the shooting stars. I wanna be the queen in your sweet lights. I wanna be the light in your eyes. It
wasn't even 4 clothing change. No, it was one.
Yeah, one outfit under another outfit.
Yeah.
Not even particularly cleverly done. Terrible.
Terrible.
And they should have stayed off the bill that year. But wow, that was the best they had that year.
Imagine.
Looking back from 2024 to 2002, the fact that she starts out dressed in a suit and is taking the male role in Dancing with the Lady, that's, you know, seems pretty progressive, although this is 4 years after Donna International won. So we've already, you know, broken certain boundaries. I will not thank you for sharing that with me.
I think I can... I mean, there is at least like 5 songs that's better than this one, at least this year.
But, from that year.
But it's a shit year.
Let's do.
I think there were maybe 25 songs that's better than this, to be honest. But yeah, sure.
Let's do a 2002 deep dive after Eurovision this year. We can can get into it.
It was only 24 songs that year, so it wasn't 25.
Okay, yeah. So hopefully that answers Elena's question. I've learned something.
Yeah.
I've learned what I don't like. Moving on. Anonymous via Spotify. So, yeah, I don't know if you have the option to withhold your name, but sure. And they asked a very, very simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain why Eurovision is called Eurovision? Where does the name come from, other than the obvious Euro?
I mean, I guess it comes from, like, watching things together in Europe. Eurovision. I see things together. Television in Europe, Eurovision.
Yeah.
These kind of things. I mean, in the beginning, it's still the members of the EBU that's can be a part of Eurovision. So it's not a geographical thing.
Yeah.
So that's why there's not like the geographical borders. It has nothing to do with EU, which half of UK thought they were like leaving Eurovision when they left EU. But no, there has nothing to do with it. Switzerland, famously not in the EU.
Norway.
They've been there. Norway. Yeah. Yeah. So nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with Euro, like the
Eurozone.
That came long, long after Eurovision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they probably named it after this contest. Now, I mean, why is the Euro is Euro? Why is Eurovision? I mean, it's Euro. That's the thing.
It would be interesting to know what other names they were considering at the beginning. Like, okay, Eurovision, what about...
Eurosinging.
Yeah, Eurosong is a brand of in some countries for their internal selection process.
How are Euro doing?
Melody Festivalen. How are you doing?
Valid question.
Yeah, Melody Festivalen and Melody Grand Prix, the two, obviously, Norway and Sweden. Something like that, like, you know,
Euro Festival.
Song Grand Prix, you know.
It had different names in the beginning, I think, in different countries. People called it different things. Here it was called, like, Schlagerfestivalen or something.
Both
Melodifestivalen, and sometimes we call it the European Melodifestivalen. Like, very confusing. I mean, back in the day, branding wasn't very a big thing.
Yeah.
Especially not in Sweden. So yeah, I don't have like specific days when it obviously became Eurovision for each and everyone. But now that's name and it's a brand, it's everything. But yeah, why they named it, I mean, I don't
know. No, I mean, yeah, so there's nothing, there's no secret that we know of other than the obvious, well, it's just...
No, yeah. Television for Europe.
Yeah,
Eurovision.
Television for Europe. Yeah, okay. So now we have a question from a name that you will know from the Schlagerprofilena's comments. So this is Kalle from Uppsala.
Mm-hmm.
And Kalle sent a few questions in. So the first one is, and I'm going to translate this on the fly, can you explain how the odds are decided or calculated? What's the criteria that is used by the gambling companies in their judgment?
I mean, the only time the bookmakers put out...
That's what they're called, bookmakers.
The bookmakers decide the odds. It's like the first time they publish them.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't follow every bookmaker out there. Maybe some of them put starts with the same odds forever, but I don't know. But I guess they, if the first time they put things out, for the people who put this out, I mean, before even the songs are selected, I mean, if you look at Svenska Spel, the Swedish ones, they are not putting anything up for Eurovision until like every song is selected. They already know how they are streaming, these kind of things. And then they look at that and they do a prediction, that they have very skilled people doing a prediction, like, what do we think that people will put their money on?
Mm.
Because that's what they do. They want to make money, of course. So they put them up. And then after that's happened, it's what people put their money on that decides. I mean, the odds right now, if you check, it's about what people decide to spend their money on. Yeah. And people, of course, want to make money. So that's also how odds work. If you see something, this could win.
Yeah.
And it has a high, you put your money there.
Yeah. So if you were a gambling bookmaker, and you've got basically a pot for each country, taking Eurovision as the example, the more money that goes into a pot, the less you will get to keep if that one wins. So you give worse returns as you recalculate the odds. So Croatia now are number one in the odds. Mm-hmm. So that means a lot of people have bet on Croatia.
Yeah.
And so you will be giving less money back if they win.
Exactly.
So you lower the odds as you go.
Yeah.
Whereas a country that no one has bet on, like, say, San Marino, you would offer very good odds to encourage people to give you their money, knowing that in high likelihood you're going to keep all that money.
Exactly.
So yeah.
So that's how it works. There's not like no fan people behind this, like knowing or predicting. And it's of course not like the right now. I think Sweden are ninth in the odds. It's not like that's their predictable place where Sweden's going to end up. That's not what the odds are.
Yeah.
The odds are we are the ninth. The people who spend money thinks we are the ninth likeliest to win.
Yeah.
That's what this odds says. Then they've been right for a long time because people who want to spend their money and spend a lot of their money on this, they want to put it on what they think are the most secure. And then it turns, I think it has a little bit of a spiral effect that the people say in the contest, when the commentators in the contest might say like, oh, this is the one that you should be holding out for because that's been number one in odds for so long and things like that. But I mean, basically we are using the odds because they're only indicating, that's the only thing that can indicate something right now. That's why we put a lot of time into it. But of course, they are not always right. I mean, there's a lot of countries we've been talking about during this, in the podcast, the latest weeks that have been wrong.
Mm.
I mean,
Absolutely. Hopefully that answers that question. I think also interesting thing, maybe this is for another episode, in terms of once you stop betting on it, then any interference with the results then becomes a crime in terms of, you know, the countries that have been found to be voting for each other or colluding in some way to try to affect the outcome.
Mm.
And there have been criminal prosecutions related to some of these.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's criminal, but it's been very much controversies about these kind of things that people try to pay off other countries to vote for them and things like that in the past. So.
And during the live sending, your mate, Osterdahl, he said, we're not going to give you the results.
There were some voting problems.
Irregularities.
There. Irregularities, exactly. So they saw things that didn't look very well mathematically.
Yeah.
That some countries, some Euro groups had done.
Yeah.
So, So they are closing. Yeah, of course, there's money involved here. So, of course, the betting companies want to be correct also, so you don't win money. And I mean, it's one thing to bet for the number one, but the guys who really makes money on this, they sell their bets. I mean, if you put money on Croatia like several weeks ago before they selected something. There were high odds. Now you can sell that bet to somebody else for some money. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So that it's a lot of things that you can do.
In December, actually as recently as January, you could have got a lot of money back if you bet on Croatia. But who knew? I mean, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, if you don't have a time machine. Cool. Okay, so Callie, hopefully that answered your question. So, Dennis, also known as Rich Man's Ghetto on Instagram. Is there anything that Sweden can do at this point to become less hated in the community? And let me just say, when I read this question, I was like, what? I thought the UK was the hated one. I mean, it's even a joke in Fire Saga, the film about Eurovision. It's like, that's UK. Nobody like UK. But what is this news I'm hearing? Sweden is hated?
Yeah, I think we're the most hated country, actually. UK just think them. They just blame their worst results that they are hated. Nobody hates UK. Nobody has never hated the UK. Okay. Ever. That's just UK who thinks that. There's a bit of, I mean, these things that are going on in Russia like now, that everybody, oh, everybody hates Russia. That's why everything is going on. That, UK have the same thing. That's like their shield to the world, like when it's going bad for them. Like, they just hate us. Nobody hates you. Send a good song. You suddenly send Sam Ryder and people didn't hate you. They liked it. There's no hate. Sweden is hated because of several things.
Okay.
One thing, we've done very well in the 2010s. Nobody seems to remember, all these young Eurovision fans that wasn't even born yet, the struggle that we had in the 2000 and 2010. We had some top five results, but there were Melodifestivalen was at its peak and the results were really, really bad, like 22, like something like that. And at some point 2010, we were not even in the final. So, but after that, we did something, we changed something, it got better for us. And yeah, that's one thing. If you have done a lot of good results, people are getting tired of you. Like, we won so many times now. Mm. It is a bit tiring. I mean, I hated Ireland in the 90s, where they always won. Nobody wants everybody to win all the time. And it's not even good. It's not good for the contest. The second thing is, of course, the thing that we discussed last episode with the soulless things that people think. And it's that I can have a TED talk about that. But the thing is, I don't think Swedish music have much soul in Melodifestivalen. That's the thing. If we get the Loreen to sing it, or if we get the Cornelia to sing it, or we get the Sanna Nielsen to sing it, people can get soul into these songs. Mm-hmm. If you get a less good artist, it's just a pop song. And we do pop songs great. We do the songs. We have done songs from Britney Spears to Ariana Grande right now. The Weeknd, everything. That's Swedes doing that. We're doing slick, productive pop songs. Avicii. There's no soul, I would say, in Avicii, but it hits.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And that's what people vote for in Melodifestivalen. And I think that's the most Swedish thing. I mean, that's a folk song. That's what we do. So, yeah, that's not much. But right now, with the trend that's going away, because in the 90s, everything was folky. Everything was weird. So when we started to, when people started to send crazy dance numbers from when the Eastern countries came in and did something completely different, people were voting for that. When we started to send slick pop songs in the 2010, people were voting for that. Euphoria, Popular, and If I Was Sorry, these kind of songs that did very well. And now that's not what the kids want anymore. They want something completely different. And of course, one thing, the most easiest thing that we could do, of course, is the thing that we've been talking about all the time. Singing Swedish. Yeah. We haven't been singing Swedish, how many times I've said this in this podcast? Since 98.
Yeah.
I think sending something in Swedish that's not super polished, something like what Cornelia did, but in Swedish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
People would like it.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it's a big boat to turn around. If people have and also, they also think that we, every time, since we won it so much, and since Martin Österdahl is Swedish, and before it was a Norwegian guy, but before that it was...
But who is Martin Österdahl to Eurovision?
Martin Österdahl is like the big boss. He's the CEO of Eurovision, you can say. That's his main job, to be the boss of Eurovision.
Yeah.
So he's also the one who decides, not alone, but he's like the boss of deciding if there are any changes. Every year, I think the broadcaster comes and says, we want to do this and this and this. And then he says yes or no. But I mean, he was that guy for Sweden when we were here in 2013 and 2016. He was the boss of Swedish Eurovision before he got the job. So there's a lot of Swedes everywhere. Christer Björkman is doing the running order this year and is the head of contest in Malmö. He was the head for Melodifestivalen for years, but he also was hired by Portugal, by Ukraine. So there were Swedes involved. We've been there a bit too much. I think we just, if I would get, if this was me running a company, I would say to people like, cool down, don't attack the customer that much. Just leave them alone for a while and they will want us again. But right now, cool down.
Yeah.
Yep.
I also think that for a lot of people, we stole the victory from Finland last year. And that was very unpopular.
Yep.
There was a lot of backlash, you know, straight afterwards.
Exactly. That came at the peak of Sweden being hated.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then to come back this year and draw Sweden performing first in the final with the new rules that you can vote from the beginning. And I think Dennis actually sent this question in before that was announced. So,
yeah.
It's...
There's a lot of work that needs to be done if the fans are going to love us again. On the other hand, and that's also one more thing, Sweden have been sending songs that have been liked by the jury for a while now. I think it was France in 2016 that was actually getting more points from the public than from the jury.
Mm.
And that was when we were in Sweden. So the jury famously doesn't like give much points to the host, songs to the host. So I think we need to come up with songs that attract the public a little bit more also, because now people get the feeling that we are just helped, that we are, tinfoil hats, like that we are like paying people to get us up or something. I don't know. That's a lot of things.
Do you think it'd be good for Sweden's reputation if we maybe don't win for another 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good for the contest if you don't win for a while.
Yeah.
I would love to be number... We haven't been number two. We have been number two once, and that was in the 60s.
Wow.
So that's my spot.
Aim for number two.
Yep.
Okay. Aim for number two. There you go. That's a good answer to that. Mm-hmm. Dennis also asked another question. It was very similar to a question asked by the Super Tall Giant on Instagram. And their questions are, what are the prospects of bringing more countries back, invite new ones to the contest? And Super Tall Giant asks, what country should join Eurovision and why? And what country should never join and why? And I think this is on the back of Luxembourg returning after 30 mm-hmm. years. And this year, Romania aren't participating.
Yep.
That did
Not Bulgaria. Bosnia.
And we have Macedonia as well. They're not back this year. But then, obviously, we've touched on Hungary, Turkey, those sorts of countries that have had big presence in Eurovision in the past. That just there's no chance of coming back anytime soon.
And of course, Russia.
For
obvious reasons, but I mean, they were a superpower in this contest. So
yeah.
If you just look at it from like a song perspective that we're doing right now, but yeah.
Russia's an interesting one. If you think, you know, just hypothetically, if the whatever we're calling it now conflict were to end, how quickly do you think they'd be invited back?
I don't know. I think they left the EBU also, so they need to be welcomed back there first or like start to paying. So I guess. But I mean, with another government, the end of the conflict, these kind of things, of course, it hopefully will happen in some point. I think Russia is a great music country.
Yeah.
So,
other than that one, what country would you like to see come back that currently isn't competing?
I think I always would say Turkey because I loved the things that they brought to it when I was a kid, and also like all through until they just decided not to be there. So I think they had so much to bring to the contest, and I mean also Hungary. I think it's great. But then, I mean, I want Bulgaria and Romania to be back. I'm not a big fan of just expanded it even more. I mean, I'm okay with Australia. I thought it was fun when they were invited. Now it feels like a joke that never ends. Sorry. Not that they're taking seriously all these kind of things. But in the beginning, they brought something. They were serious about it. They had like songs that came very good. But now starting to send things that not really... I mean, I know you loved them last year. But I mean, I don't really know why we keep getting them there. You understand what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
But now we invited them. It's like a bit like you invited somebody and you can't just throw them out of your house.
Yeah.
Okay. You invited grandma, now you can't just send her home again.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some of that is connected to the fact that Australia was a British colony and, you know, there's a close connection between British people and Australian people.
I think it's more like they love the contest as much as they liked ABBA. They have like a binding to the contest that's not much countries outside of Europe have. I think they were more into Eurovision than many countries in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So and they're a bit alone. They try to have like do something Asian, an Asian vision, but it just fell through because they couldn't collaborate. It didn't work really.
An Asian Eurovision. So what would you say if someone suggested Canada join?
I mean, for a 1 year kind of thing, maybe, or if we took out Australia and put in Canada.
Only one colony at a time.
I mean, I would rather have the countries that's actually in Europe, like Monaco, that hasn't been there for a while, but Andorra, they were there when I started to, I mean, there are so many countries that have actually been in a contest that's not there. Morocco has been there once. People are making cases for Kosovo, but I mean, then we are into this political era again. There is not every country in Europe are saying Kosovo is their own country. You know, this complicated thing. So I guess that's why we can't bring it in. There were. I mean, before we had to call Macedonia, before we call them North Macedonia, we have to call them the former Yugoslavian Republic of Macedonia because Greece wouldn't allow them to be there otherwise. All these kind of things people have been talking about, I mean, since Georgia and all these countries are there, people are talking about Kazakhstan going. But for me, if you're talking about things that absolutely shouldn't be, I don't think we should expand it too much because it gets too big. It also get the time zones, everything gets weird. Mm. We don't have to be in a world contest of this. Mm. I rather see that different districts have their own contest. It's not like a thing that you are not... I mean, everything turns into a political thing. Then it's like, you're not allowed to be in Europe, but you're allowed... I mean, it's not that. Just keep it on the continent. We have a lot of countries going there. And that, I mean...
Yeah.
Yep.
What about China? Do you have China in?
No. I don't want Japan or Korea in either. I mean, they should have their own thing. And then I'm not against some sort of world vision, whatever. But we can't put everybody in Eurovision. It would be, it's too much for a TV show. I don't understand the fans who are like, bring so many. The more, the merrier. Like, I don't know. No, there's like a limit. We can be like 42. Because otherwise we need to find some other system to select what's going to be in a final. Because the final can't be much more than it's... what it is.
So famously, this isn't the time we're going to talk about it, but the American Song Contest, 52 states competing.
How well did that go?
Spoilers.
Spoilers alert. Not very well.
Not well.
No.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just saying there is a system. You can work out a system to make more numbers compete, but it doesn't necessarily work.
I don't think they should cram too much into it. It's nice as it is.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. We've got two more questions from Kalle from Uppsala. So we're going to go through those. And they're kind of connected. So Kalle notes, and again, I'm going to translate this on the fly from Swedish. Is this a normal year in Eurovision, according to you? So far, it has been about three different groups. One, weird sort of Eurovision-style songs. And I guess you
put
your Carriers. Yeah, is another way to categorize that. But your Europapas, your Windows 95 Man, your Grease.
Mm-hmm.
Competent but boring is a second category. And there's a lot of those. That's a good way.
Every year, I would say.
He's just saying that these groups are really starting to emerge. Three, Pop Girl, which, I mean, Pop Girl / Boy, because Marcus and Martinez are in that category. Yeah. Maybe you controversially would say they're competent but boring. Just pop style. And then he's saying, now comes a fourth group of, so young men who sing pop, I guess. So that's the emerging group. And which way should Sweden go? And he sent this question before Marcus and Martinez won, so we know the answer to that. And he thinks a song in the third category, which would have been Maria Sir, I guess, would have been the best.
I mean, I'm not completely agreeing with him looking now to where we have when we have the final things. I think we have the ballads, which is always there, and some of them are going into the Loreen territory.
Mm.
If you look at Slovenia, for example,
Belgium.
I'd say they're going to very expressive artists doing something.
Yeah,
and going
a bit
on.
More intense than just for example, Serbia or Israel, a more traditional ballad.
Yep.
And then your Slovenia and your Belgian, a more Loreen style ballad. Yeah.
And then when you look at Kerry, people have gone two ways. You have the people who just thought it's going to be weird, which is Finland.
Finland, yeah.
Which is just like you go for the crazy aspect, or you go for the rock changing genre in the middle kind of thing, which I think, and then you have the blend of both, which I think is the Netherlands. But I mean, this thing to change into another song in the end, which Croatia is doing, which Netherlands are doing, which Switzerland is doing, that's so obviously cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
It's a new trick to get, because it's always been about keeping people there for 3 minutes.
Mm.
And Carrier did something new, which just, I'm changing song.
Yeah.
And now that's just exploded. And then I guess at top of this, like the Loreens, the ballads kind of thing, and the Carriers, you have two smaller categories. Which one is completely folky, which is Norway, maybe Armenia, these kind of things. And then you have pop things, which is Poland and it's UK. And I would maybe say Sweden is there also. And that's always, always there. I mean, the folky things and the pop things, they're always there. They're just smaller groups this year. I don't think, I mean, controversially, I don't know where to put Greece here. Because I think she's a Loreen doing a career in kind of way. She's,
yeah, okay.
Because she's very expressive. Like, she owns the shit that she's doing.
Yeah.
But it's also something that changes.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah. She's really riding the line between those two. Mm. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it maybe makes sense why we both really like that song.
Yep.
Because it's getting that good mix. What's interesting is she's doing a folky thing, I would say, because it's got that like fluty kind of sound, and it doesn't change genre. It's very, it sticks to her lane, but her lane is so weird that it's hard to sort of pin it down. I do agree with this category that Kalle suggested of competent but boring, and I think a lot of songs fit in that regardless of the genre. Whatever they're doing, they do it well,
I would say that the competent but boring is the main category in Melodifestivalen.
Yeah.
So Eurovision is not suffering as much as Melodifestivalen, because Melodifestivalen is dying under a thick layer of competent but boring.
So then Kalle goes on to ask the interesting part of his question, I think, is then I wonder if Schlager is making a comeback. I've heard contributions with songs from four countries. Elisa from Sweden. Yeah, we talked about Elisa. We said some lovely things. Marie Reim from Germany. He thinks she was the best. Anita from Iceland.
Didn't hear it.
And then he says Luna from Poland. And that's interesting.
I think that's more pop.
This is pop, but I can see why you would.
But then UK also is some sort of slow. I mean, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't put that. But yeah. So then he says, will 2025 be the year when Sanna Nielsen wins with a Schlager song in Mellow?
No.
why not?
First, I don't think Sanna will come back and do a Schlager song in Mellow next year.
Yeah.
Second, I don't think it ever will win in Sweden again. I mean, it's years since we sent something like that. And three, I just got a great idea. I think we should invite the biggest expert on Schlager in Sweden to this podcast at some point. That's my dearest friend, Ronny Larsson. And he can give you a lesson in Schlager, because nobody else can give a lesson in Schlager as he can. So I will ask him to put together like a deep dive into Swedish Schlager at some point. And we bring him in as a guest and let him educate you in this.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to listen to much of it now. I would say, I know that the Schlager has some, it's a huge fandom in Sweden. I'm also a part of it. I have some great stories to talk about Schlager, but I think we need a whole episode for that.
Okay.
And I don't think Sweden should go that way.
Yeah.
I don't think we will go that way, and I hope we have other ways to go.
And the fact that Elisa didn't go to the final, she went to Andra and second chance.
And came last there.
So I don't feel like we're on the verge, unless it was a name like Sanna Nielsen, or let's say, I mean, they talk about this all the time. Let's say Mons came back and did a Schlager song. Maybe.
Mons is the perfect name. I mean, what he did in the beginning was Schlagers. In a way, we could pretend it was pop song by then, but I guess it's a bit of Schlager. Yeah, sure. If Mons came back and did it, maybe with Sanna, then...
it's a collab.
That would never happen. And
But what you don't want to see is, say, someone like Maria Sir come back and try Schlager.
No, exactly.
You know, the artist... We keep saying this, be authentic, be true to yourself. So it's not, if we think that this is the thing that's going to work, everyone should try it if it's not your thing.
No.
Yeah.
Schlager is a lovely genre, but it's been very hard to revitalize it. It's very hard. I mean, basically, Schlager is a genre that just exists in Melodifestivalen in Sweden. So that's why we need to have it there, because otherwise it will die. It has no other place to be.
Mm.
But with that said, we need artists that want to do it, to make it younger. I mean, yeah. And for some time we had that. We had the Danish, we had the Erik Sade, we had the Mons that did things pop that turned into more of a Swedish log kind of thing. And I don't know, now everything is dead now.
Everything is dead. And with that in mind, happy Easter. Maybe like Jesus, it will rise again.
Yeah.
let me just say this. That feels like a good place to end.
Yeah.
Now we hope we've answered all of your questions. Mm-hmm. So are you going to say?
No. I'm not allowed to say anything more. I'm going to go home, die, and resurrect.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Put the erect in resurrect.
That could be a song. You put the erect in
resurrect. And you dress like Jesus.
You
feels like a good place to end,
you
Ken.
You dress like Jesus, but you didn't cross my mind. Not very good. No. I just tried to find up like an Easter song that we can send.
You dress like Jesus, but you didn't come again.
We have to do an Eggster podcast about that.
Oh, Jesus. So listen, that has felt for a while like a good place to end. Desperately trying to end this episode. Look, if we haven't said it before, we really appreciate you listening and having sent these wonderful questions in. I feel very engaged. It feels great to have people listen to this podcast and engage with us, ask us questions. Hopefully you like the answers. Or if you don't, you know, you can let us know if you feel differently. And so if you want to get in touch with us, we might do one of these again in the future, or, you know, depending on your question, we might answer it as we go. But if you want to send us one, DM us on Instagram, or perhaps you might think about emailing us at deskmates@gmail.com, or you can reply directly under the episode in Spotify. Until next time, have a great Easter, and
Easter Bunny, please egg me back.
Make any sense. Okay.
You should do a regular one. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. If you haven't heard the other ones, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but who's listening to just this episode? No, yeah. Okay, so until next time, bye-bye.